Can you all hear me okay? Good. Can I ask you to open your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5? That's Ephesians chapter 5. And the verses that I want to look at in particular are going to be verses 15 and 16. The contents of chapter 5, in summary, are very simple. It's Paul is now taking us from the realms of theology into the realms of practical living. In other words, how does the Word of God apply to us on a day-to-day, week-by-week, year-by-year basis? Because if nothing else, the Word of God is practical. It's for everyday people like you and I to give us guidance and wisdom for living out our lives in a way that is Christ-honoring and pleasing to God. That's the essence of what Paul is taking us into now. And I want to pick out these two verses, if you like, as it sort of pulls a highlight together of what I believe Paul is trying to say to us, to his readers in those days, to us today, and to the people of the future. Life has been described very much as a journey from the cradle to the grave. For Christians, the grave is not the end, the grave is but a step into reality itself. Because reality, true reality, is only found in the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What we experience here as we journey together through our lives, whether they be short or long, is but a foretaste of what's to come. It's a preparation time, if you like, where God is allowing us to experience all sorts of things, good things, not such good things, difficult times, hardships, joy and pleasure, primarily in relationships, and also, obviously, very importantly, in work, as we've heard, one young man is very much hoping that his grades will give him that boost to set him on a path that he's yet to explore. But life is a journey, and for Christians, there's a destination in mind. Life is not pointless. And we need to remember that when we're talking to people who don't know the Lord, for whom life can seem very pointless, and when they're going through difficult and hard times, things challenge us, they come out of the blue, and they knock us sideways. I don't know in my life how I would have survived had I not got the hope of Christ living in me. I know where I'm going. I have no doubt about that at all. And I trust that you do as well. Paul says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Those verses speak very eloquently to us about life's journey. And they should be giving us guidance. We need to remind ourselves that God knows us far better than we will ever know ourselves or one another. Psalm 139 speaks so wonderfully about God's pre-knowledge of us before we were conceived, before we were even a twinkle in Mum and Dad's eyes. It reminds us that God knew us before we ever came into being. What a wonderful thought that in the councils of eternity, God had already chosen each one of you in this room to come into a personal, living, loving relationship with Him. Our journey started long before we were born and will continue long after we leave this earth. Go to the book of, we were talking about books this morning, and I was thrilled to hear the Narnia stories. Go to the last pages of the Narnia stories. It's a wonderful ending to a beginning. All that you've experienced before is but a taste of what's yet to come. And what's yet to come is beyond belief. This journey that we undertake in life is a foretaste, but we should enjoy it. A chap called James Fowler did a study on life, and he made some interesting observations. He said, childhood is about receiving and learning. As we take in, we're purely and totally reliant on mum, and then a bit later on dad, when dad features, and then a bit later on siblings and other members of the family. It's about learning to make mistakes and recovering from them. It's a vital role for parents to play of encouragement and injecting into these young people's lives enthusiasm for living, a recognition that we don't always get it right. Even as parents, I know Val and I look back and think, I wish we had done this differently, or perhaps we shouldn't have said that, or we should have said this. But life is about learning. It's not about condemnation. It's about recognizing we don't always get it right, but by the grace of God, we can do better next time. Teenage years, well, we've got four children, have all been through that. And we remember this growing into independence, this stubbornness, this throwing off the yoke of parenthood as their peers became more informative to them, and they listened more to their peers than they did to their parents, or so it seemed. The boys tell me that that wasn't always the case, but we've often had debates about that. It's about a time of who am I? It's beginning to prepare to leave the home and journey into adulthood. It's a very testing time. It's hormonal. Teenagers are going all over the place. Parents and grandparents need to be there. They need to be with them. They need to be strong for them to provide the guidance that they need, which may not always be accepted at the time, as most of us will remember. The 20s is a time of preparation. It's really now beginning to learn to leave the home, to begin to understand this journey of who we are and where we're going to. And it's learning to play the game. Play the game of moving into work situations. What does that mean? How do we get to grips with all the challenges that that means? And again, we need to be there as parents, particularly at this time, because it can be very difficult. I talk to teachers, friends of ours, and I really marvel at how they manage still to inject enthusiasm and commitment into our young upcoming men and women. When they leave, you know, leave school, they want to go to university, they're preparing for this adulthood, and yet you look out in the job market today, life is very difficult. It's a lot harder than when we were that age. Certainly in the 20s, if you didn't like one job in our era, you could move to another one. Not so today. Life is very challenging and very difficult. If you're in your 30s, you're beginning to apply the wisdom that you've learnt from making the mistakes in the 20s, so they tell us. It's a redefining of goals and plans for our lives. We're beginning to see how life is shaping us. We're beginning to mature. We're beginning to understand what life has to say to us and how we deal with life. Goals and plans become more important when you're in your 30s, because you're beginning to perceive that there's more to life than you'd ever imagined. It isn't just about perhaps young children and a mortgage. It's about the challenges of knowing where you're going in the workplace, or where you might need to go, whether you're moving away. We've got our second eldest son is thinking of moving to Western Australia with our two of our grandchildren. To say that came as a bolt out of the blue to Van and I was putting it mildly. We just got to trust God in this one. Naturally, we wouldn't want them to go. But we know that God's got his hand on them, and we just have to learn as parents to be there for them, but also to be able to let them go. And that's sometimes very difficult. in your 40s, you're now getting to that stage where you know yourself a little bit more clearly. You're becoming a bit more honest with yourself. You're beginning to recognise your strengths and your weaknesses. In the workplace, there's probably slightly less of a drive for promotion and that sort of thing, because you're more settled with where you are, who you are, you're maturing, you're seeing life again. Your view on life is changing because you're moving into a new area of living and values, and it's important that we come to terms with that. For many people, it's the start of the midlife crisis. When you're in your 50s, you certainly are beginning to know the midlife crisis. And I remember Val and I having a conversation because it was our, if you like, our peak years. I was settled in the job. I knew where I was going. I'd more or less got a retirement plan set into place, because you have to within the police force, because you've got a finite time within which you work, and then they like to wave goodbye to you. And you're encouraged with pre-retirement courses to think on these things. And it's a challenge. When I retired, I had 36 years of service behind me. It's a big letting go exercise. There's a sense of grieving for what's gone. But as Christians, we've got hope for the future. Because the relationship I found with Christ is that he gives me the courage and the strength to look at reality. Not what I'd like it to be, but what it is. What is, where am I in life now? What are the challenges ahead of me? What are the blessings of the past? What are the blessings yet to come? Midlife crisis is an interesting experience. A friend of mine, who was the most staid and steady chap you could ever wish to meet, suddenly came home one day having bought a Harley Davidson. His wife looked out of the front door and said, "What's that on the front drive?" And he said, "That's my latest acquisition." There was some considerable conversations took place shortly afterwards. Suffice to say, he kept it for a little while and then gave in. 60s is a very interesting time. Go back 30 or 40 years, and if you're in your 60s, you were reaching life's end. Health was nowhere near as good. Ministry, probably we didn't have the money that was there. But if you notice, over the last 10, 15, 20 years, that's no longer the case. I liken it to my old cars. I used to have a Wolseley Hornet, and if you reach 60,000 miles on the clock, the engine was clapped, the clutch had gone, the gearbox was on its way out, and it was time to consign it to the scrap heap. That's how people were viewed in those days when they got into their 60s. Look at your cars today, and I've got a car now, it's a diesel. It's got 66,000 on the clock, and they'll tell me it's good now. The engine will outlive the life of the car, the bodywork, because they're so good. Progress in medical issues and standards of living have risen. We are living in a very good age, although things are difficult out there. We do expect and are living that much longer, which, as we know, is causing problems for the government. But the wonderful thing about the 60s coming into the 70s is you have this shock of realising that there's actually less years in front of you than there are behind you. Does anybody else face that one? Yeah, I thought so. It's a bit of a shock to the system when you face that reality check. And I find our children are very good at reminding me of that on occasions. It's this redefining of who am I? What's important now in my life, in life's journey? If you're in your 70s, you're planning for eternity. Or you should be. But I hope planning for eternity is something that we should be thinking of throughout life's journey, from the time that you come to know Christ onwards. Each of us, wherever we are in that life cycle, should always be asking ourselves, if we take Paul's advice, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Can I ask you, are you making the most of every opportunity that God sends your way? Let me just take you through just a couple of headings, and there are many more you could think of. What about your relationship with the Lord? When did you last stop and review where you are in your walk with Christ? I've got a habit at home, when the car's due for an MOT, I book it a month before it's due. Because if it's going to fail, I want it to fail while I've still got an MOT on it and I've got time to put it right. I plan ahead, which annoys my kids intensely at times, because I keep reminding them to do it. With my life with Christ, I plan ahead. I don't want to wait until the last day and then find that the car's broken down or it's failed the MOT for whatever reason and I'm stuck. I want to journey this life knowing that Christ is with me. And that's a relationship. That's what life's all about. It's primarily, it's all about relationships. The primary relationship is our walk with the Lord. Do an MOT on your walk with him. When did you last give him time to speak into your life? How often do you read his word? How often do you go to the home group meetings? Because fellowship in the Christian walk is so, so important. When did you last pray for somebody? When did you last give them a word of encouragement when you know they were going through tough times? Do an MOT on your walk with God. Plan ahead. Plan wisely. When did you last do a, if you like, a stock list check of where am I with my use of time with my family? Yeah, I put Sunday mornings to one side and I come to chapel and I might do the home group and prayer meetings and so on and so forth. That's great. It's a good start. But don't forget you're in relationships. Your prime relationship is with the Lord. Your second, I would suggest, is with your family, because that's who God has placed you with. Those are the people that God has blessed you with all their challenges and their joys. We've got grandchildren now, three of them, and little Noah's just 12 months old and he's starting to toddle around, and you suddenly realise you're not quite as fit as you thought you were when he's up for the hands up for the 17th walk of the, you know, in 10 minutes. And you're crouching down and walking along with him, but it's lovely. I know that when I was had young boys of Noah's age, I was at work. I was on CID. I was working every hour that was sent. I didn't spend the time with them that I wanted to. And I look back on that with some regret. And Val's reminding me, you seem to spend more, give more time to the grandchildren than you were able to with our children. And she's right. Don't make that mistake. Cherish every moment of time, because time is a gift. Use time wisely. Make the most of every opportunity. Be wise in how you use the bank of time, because it only ever comes to us once as we journey together. Don't forget to do an MOT on yourself. Who am I? Ask yourself the question, what's my life all about? Am I living my life wisely? Am I hearing from God? Am I a blessing to my family? Am I a blessing to my wider family, the church? Time is a gift. Don't waste it. I'm reminded of, and I haven't got time to go into it now, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, well known to all of you. Solomon uses 14 opposites. And he does that to encompass every possibility. A right time for birth and another for death. He does that, he starts at birth, he goes through to death. Why? Because he wants to remind us of covering every eventuality that life might throw at us. It's a good opportunity sometimes to read Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is a time, there is a season for everything under the sun, says Solomon. And he's right. We've used very quickly this morning examples of the life cycle to remind us that at different phases through our journeys, we come across different challenges. We are changing as people. We need to stop and do an MOT on our spiritual life, our family life, in fact, all of our relationships. You only get out of life what you put into it. Time waits for no man or woman. We give God thanks that he's given us good minds to read his word, to understand what he's saying to us. Paul goes on to talk about that we should conform to the will of God. Do you know what the will of God is for each of our lives? I know speakers who could spend an entire morning just expounding that one theme. Let me tell you how I sum it up. To be conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's God's will for each of our lives. It will work out very differently for each one of us because we're unique individuals with responsibility for making decisions and choices that nobody else can make for us. We will answer for those when we appear before the Lord one day. So be wise in your thinking, in your use of time, in your use of money, in your use of other resources. God has blessed us with this wonderful gift of time, and he wants us to use it to his glory in our relationships with him primarily, and very secondary, but very closely, in all the other relationships that he blesses us with and takes us to. I hope then you'll take these words of Paul's to your heart and that you'll take them today and ponder on what God might be saying to you through them. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. May God bless his word to us this morning and in the days ahead. We're going to close now with our final hymn, which speaks very powerfully of life's journey being encompassed by our Heavenly Father, the Lord's my shepherd.